Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Typically, the type of people that enjoy learning halacha, that are drawn to the limud of halacha, are drawn to a certain way of thinking, where everything adds up, where there's a certain linear way of thinking, and that everything tends to make sense, and we're less into open-ended kinds of questions and discussions. So one area of learning of halacha that gives people fits very often is utilizing a concept such as hefsid merubah. So I want to spend today, the next 9.5 minutes or so, talking about that concept called hefsid merubah. The concept certainly exists, that in halacha sometimes, that because there's a case of great loss, that somehow the halacha is going to change. The Mishnah tells us that a person who comes on Friday night and he's got his behemoth that's carrying all sorts of things that are muktzah, he's allowed to undo the ropes that are holding the bundles on the animal, and the bags will fall on their own. So the Gemara says, but what if there are clay zechuchas, what if there are glass kalim in those bags? And when they fall on their own, they're just going to crash on the floor and they're all going to break and it's going to be a hefsid merubah. So the Gemara says, oh no, then what you should do is yiplu ala karim. You should take some cushions and put them underneath to break the fall of these items. Aye, but that's a violation of being mevatel kli mehechano, because now it's going to have muktza on it and you're not going to be able to use those karim and ksasos anymore. So the Gemara says, yeah, papa makom hefsid merubah, you're allowed to be mevatel kli mehechano. So like, what? What happened? Why b'makom hefsid merubah? Are you allowed to do these things? There are many examples in halacha like this. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that you're allowed to do amiru l'nachri, to do something that's a nisr d'rabanan, b'makom hefsid merubah. When there's a tzorech harbe, which the Mishnah Berurah says, b'makom hefsid gadol. So b'makom hefsid merubah, you can do what's called the shvus d'shvus on Shabbos. Why? Why? If it's aser, it's aser, right? What's the story with hefsid merubah? In fact, the Chumash tells us that we take the kalim out of a house before a kohen declares a negat saras on the house, in order not to be metame all the kalim and having them all get ruined. And Rashi says that the Torah tells us to do this because the Torah chasa al mamonim shel Yisrael, that the Torah is careful about the money of the Jewish people. A number of Rishonim write that this is part of the general concept of hefsid merubah. There would be a major loss if all the items in your house became unusable. So the Rama writes that the concept of hefsid merubah can only apply in a case where me'ikar hadin, there's what to be samechan, where there's something there, me'ikar hadin, it's just that we're knowing not to follow that kula. But makom hefsid, it's like kedai Rabbi Shimon l'smachlov b'shas avchak, that there is a shita, so then, just like b'shas avchak, you can rely on perhaps a das yachad that we otherwise would not accept. But makom hefsid merubah, we have a similar concept. Rav Asher Weiss has a chakira in Minchas Asher where he discusses what is hefsid merubah? Is it a takana or is it a svara? Is it a takana's chachamim that they were mesakin to be makel in certain situations, but makom hefsid merubah, or it's just a svara in hora'ah that when you're paskin, you have to take it into account? So he says this is totally in a machlokas shach and taz. The shach writes that only by an isser drabanan do we rely on a das yachid b'makom hefsid merubah. Why? So Rav Asher Weiss explains, because it's a takana's chachamim. So hey mamru ve hey mamru. Just like their machmir against the das yachid on the din d'rabanan, they could be makel like the das yachid on the din d'rabanan when it's hefsid merubah. So that's a takana. The Taz, however, understands that even by an isser daraisa you could be samech on a das yachid b'makom hefsid merubah. So it must be, he says, that it's a svara and therefore it's nital nahakel even by isurim da'oraisa. And then Rav Asher Weiss says maybe it's tzvei dinim. Maybe when you find that chazal or mekel b'makom hefsid, they were mesakin to be mekel in those situations. But in cases where the contemporary poskim are mekel b'makom hefsid merubah, that's a svara rather than a takana. But as far as getting down to the nitty gritty of it, to the actual details of what constitutes hefsid merubah, what does not, there are basically three major marmakomos to be aware of. There's a pischei tshuva in Hilchas Treifus that you would, unless you bumped into it, you would never know about it. There's a pischei tshuva in Hilchas Treifus, and there are two Rabbi Kiva Egers where he has machlokas with other poskim that are all important in the sugya. The pischei tshuva in Hilchas Treifus discusses the following issue: how much of a loss is Hefsim Ruv? What's considered big, right? Meaning Hefsim Ruv means a large loss. Is there any way to quantify what is considered a Hefsim Ruba? So it comes up in Hilchos Treves and Siman Lamed Aleph in Yerideya, because over there it talks about the Nekev Bekrum Elyon Shel Malach, a certain type of Trefa. So if the Zmachlok is a poskim, whether it's a Trefa, so we're Makel B'makom Hefsim Ruba, and pumped over there, the Pesach Yeshuva decided to talk about Hefsim Ruba. It could have been any place in Shulchan Aruch talks about Hefsim Ruba, but that's where he decided to talk about it. So what does it say over there? So Pesach Yeshuva quotes from Ahara Carmel that the Nachla Shiva in Siman Nun Hey gives a klal that Hefsim Ruba is Yoser Mishtus Bekaren, is called Hefsim Ruba. More than 1/6 of the value of the item is going to be considered a Hefsim Ruba. And he has a raya from a Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim, whatever it is. But the Ahara Carmel himself disagrees. He says, what do you mean? 1/6 of a chocolate bar and a sixth of a bar of gold cannot be compared to one another, right? Obviously, you can't eat a bar of gold, so it has no value. Chocolate bar. No, it's obviously you can't compare them to one another. 1/6 of a chocolate bar is pennies, but 1/6 of a bar of gold is a lot of money. And he says, "De'ein lezed davar kots of klal," and therefore the Ara Carmel says there is no set amount. Va'kol lefi ra'os ene amora ulefi ha'es v'azman ulefi ha'adam shehefsilu shelo im legabeyu hefsim ruba mikri hefsim ruba. It's got to be subjective to the person. He writes, so something like a chicken liver, that's a hefsim ruba. But obviously, a kalafia makom v'azman, right? Nowadays, that would probably not be a hefsim ruba. So that's the Pesach Yeshuva. I think they quote from Rav Gustman, he quotes from Rav Chaim Ozer, that the geder to know whether something's a hefsim ruba is when a person suffers that loss, does he go around telling everybody about it? If he goes around complaining to his family, you're not going to believe what happened to me today, I lost his money, and he goes around telling everybody about it, so that's a good, it's a good simin that it's probably a hefsim ruba. The second maramakom that's important to know is a rikiveger that discusses the following. What if the shaila for the individual would not be hefsim ruba, but in the aggregate it's hefsim ruba, and it's siruf, it's hefsim ruba. Rabbi Kiveger says yesh l'stapik, where you have a shaila in halacha that comes up and it affects many different kalim or many different behemos that belong to the same person. Do we say, well, this kli is not hefsim ruba and that kli is not hefsim ruba, and therefore you can't be matir? Or maybe we're matir because b'tziruf altogether it's going to be hefsim ruba. And he's mechalik between a sveika dedina, where we could be mitzarif all of the behemos together, versus cases where asur ubidiyavin mutter, where something is, it's not a sveika dedina. We know what the halacha is, we know that it's asur, but bidiyavin will be mutter, so shasar chakidiyavin dami. In those cases, we look individually at each kli. That is the shita of Rabbi Kiveger. Pesachei Tshuva quotes Rabbi Kiveger, and he says, when a lot of people, different people, come with the same shayla, where for each one it's not a hefsim ruba, but if you're going to ask her, it's going to be a hefsim ruba with the tziruf of all of them, then for sure you're not mitzari full of them, because for each person, it's not going to be a hefsim ruba. In the Tshuva's Rav Pa'alim, he disagrees with the Pesachei Tshuva, and he says that hefsim ruba is not measured based on the bailim, it's based on the behemor, the object that the nidon is on. And the Birkei Yosef, the Chidon, Birkei Yosef has a similar suffix. He says Beis Din is not nitva, doesn't deal with the tevia on pachus mishava pruta. So what if you have two shutvim that are tevia from a person, a pruta achas? Is Beis Din nizkak to such a din? Because for each of the litigants, for each of the balei din, it's going to be pachus mishava on one side of the case. Each of the tovim, it's going to be pachs mishav pruta, or each of the nitbayim. Or do we say they're not niskak because it's pachs mishav pruta? Rav Moshe disagrees with Rabbi Kiveger. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says that you don't look at, if you have something that affects all the dishes in your house. You were buying chickens from a place in Muncie, and then it turns out there was a scandal, and they were selling trefa chickens. All this. So every dish in your house is going to be affected by it. So they say, well, this dish isn't so expensive, and this dish, and even if it broke, I wouldn't go around telling anybody about it, but if I have to throw out all my dishes, it's going to be a hefsim ruba. So Moshe says that is considered a hefsim ruba. It's interesting because in Masoros Moshe, they said that Rav Moshe was asked about a shaila where a freezer broke on Shabbos, I think, and all the meat was going to get ruined, and the meat was owned by different people. So do you consider that to be a hefsim ruba? And he's in over there it says that Rav Moshe Moshe Paskin that it is considered a hefsin meruba because altogether it's hefsin meruba. And in the footnote of the Masoros Moshe, he points out that it's a pella because they remember him saying that, but it's a stira to what he writes in Igros Moshe. Okay, so they distinguish that probably the difference is that if it's Adam Echad or Shnei B'nai Adam, that if it's one person who has a lot of plates, so that would be considered to have some ruba. But if it's a lot of different people who have a piece of, each one has a hot dog or whatever, a piece of steak, then it would not be considered a hefsin ruba. The third issue when it comes to hefsin ruba is what if there's a hefsin ruba for the seller, but not a hefsin ruba for the buyer? Meaning a company has a shaila that came up, and all their inventory is affected by this. I don't need to buy from that company. I'm perfectly happy buying from another company. So should can the hashkacha rely on hefsin meruba to be makel for the company that they could sell this item to the kosher consumer or not? Or should we say, well, the kosher consumer doesn't care. They'd rather buy something that does not have a shaila. So this happened in 1981. They found that the non-chol of Yisrael milk had serious trefus shailas, and the Jewish company stopped using animals that had a particular nekev in the stomach. Whatever it was, not the same trefa shaila that Rav Schechter deals with, a different one. So at that time, there was a cheese company called Ha'olam Cheese, had millions of dollars worth of cheese that was aging, because cheese gets aged sometimes. So the shaila was whether do you rely on hefsin meruba, because it would be a major loss to Ha'olam, but every customer said, okay, so I'll buy Miller's cheese, what do I care? I'll buy, I guess that Miller's wasn't Chalav Yisrael, whatever it was, I'll buy, some other brand of cheese. This was brought al Shulchan Malachim. Rav Palm was Makel. Rav Belsky said you could be Makel even without Hefsin Meruba. This was Machlokas, Riki Veger, and the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says he could be Makel, and the Konim are allowed to buy it. But Rabbi Kivega rather says it can be Makel, but it seems that Chassam Sofer says that you should still tell the Konim. Later posts can say in the Spashet Amina Ka Chassam Sofer, in the Akdama to the Das Torah of the Marsham, he says that we're Makel on this issue as well. Rav Avadia is Makel on this issue. However, the Marsham writes in Das Torah that if you know of somebody who's very Zohir about the things that he eats, not just Stam, he keeps kosher, but he's very, very, very careful, then you need to warn him. But someone who has kulas in a lot of areas of his life and is not so careful about things, just is basically observant, then you don't need to warn him. So it's a very, very tricky shaila whether that's going to be considered hefsin meruba or not. So these are some of the klalim that go into hefsin meruba. Like I said, it could be somewhat maddening because you don't know exactly how to apply what, but this is these are at least some of the basic klalim that relate to this area of okay, have a great day, everybody.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Stephen.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.